Well, Juice fans, it's Tuesday. I film my podcast on Tuesdays, and I don't think you could have given me more things to talk about on this Tuesday, and I don't even know if I'm going to get through them all. But somehow, in a weekend where Texas beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, the Chiefs lost to the Lions. Deion Sanders in Colorado got their second win. They are now 2-0 in his only two games coaching there. And it ended up being the most watched game of the weekend over Texas and Alabama. In a weekend where the Packers, like I predicted, and like everyone should have predicted, thumped the Chicago Bears. Jordan Love looked pretty good. The defense looked astounding. And somehow, some way, I am leading with this. I can't even believe I'm saying this right now. Aaron Rodgers, on his fourth play from scrimmage, tore his Achilles and is done for the year. I don't even know where to start with this game. So that Monday night game, I was obviously incredibly eager to watch. It's Aaron Rodgers, my favorite football player of all time, my favorite athlete of all time. First game with his new team, the New York Jets. 9-11. Aaron Rodgers runs out there with the flag in his first entrance as a New York Jet. And in, the Bills go, the Bills punt, Aaron Rodgers heads out there, and you can immediately see, wow, this offensive line for the Jets is atrocious. And then somehow, some way, he gets pressured again, sacked by Leonard Floyd, and tears his Achilles and is out for the year. There's a lot to unpack with this game. I'm gonna talk about the Aaron Rodgers stuff last because I just want to say that this is probably last night's Monday night game was the most surreal football game I have ever watched. First off, set the stage. It's in New York. It's on 9/11. That's already like there's a lot there that you can just look at and say, "Wow, this game is just big in itself," because it's a, it's in a very important day in our nation's history and where this event happened. We are playing a football game there on that day. Like that's pretty big. Then you take the fact that it's the first Monday Night Football game. Everyone's gonna watch. Then you take in the fact the game went to overtime. The game went to overtime, which is pretty cool. Everyone loves overtime games. The winning touchdown in overtime was by an undrafted rookie who was a fan favorite on Hard Knocks, Xavier Gibson. Then you take in the fact that Garrett Wilson had one of the greatest catches we've ever seen. It will be probably be the greatest catch we see all season. Maybe the greatest, one of the greatest catches we've ever seen. Josh Allen has an inexplicable game. Four turnovers, three picks, a fumble that genuinely didn't even make any sense to me. It got snapped right to him, right where the ball needs to be, and it just went through his hands. He picks it up, runs, and then fumbles it again. And not even meant, and I haven't even gotten to the fact that Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. If you had told me that a player in week one will, have a season-ending injury, I'm going to be honest, outside of maybe Jordan Love, the first person I'd be thinking of, oh, please don't be Aaron Rodgers. And even Jordan Love, like, if he would have torn his Achilles, you would have been like, Packers fans, like, we all would have been like, it sucks. We can't get to watch Jordan Love, but like, we have no idea if he would have been good or not. And, we'll see next. I guess we have to just wait and see till next year. With Aaron Rodgers, this is different. Because we knew that this season for the Jets could potentially be special. And now, after seeing the performance that they put on the defensive side and the performance that Garrett Wilson put on, it just makes you wonder like what this team could have been this year. And I had a thought in my mind that I but yeah, so Aaron Rodgers, you think about what the Jets could have been. You think about the fact that he is going to be 40 years old in December. Are we sure that Aaron Rodgers isn't just going to say, I can't do the rehab. This thing is probably never going to fully heal. My football career is over. This injury could potentially be the most heartbreaking injury in sports that wasn't gruesome. Like I would say the Kevin Ware injury was bad, but it was more like, oh my God, that is one of the most gruesome injuries I've ever watched. And with Aaron Rodgers, it's like, love him or hate him, every single football fan wanted to see Aaron Rodgers play for the Jets this year. And the fact that it happened, like, we didn't even get to see a full season. No, we didn't just get to see a full season. We didn't get to see half a season. We didn't get to see half a season. We didn't get to see a game. Let alone a game, we did not get to see a half. Let alone a half, we did not get to see a quarter. Let alone a quarter, we did not get to see a full series. We only got to see one pass, two passes. One of them didn't count as an incompletion because of the flag. But man, I mean, and it makes you wonder, like the finale, the what makes this injury so crazy to me is that his first start with the New York Jets, it culminated to when the Packers selected Jordan Love in 2020. When the Packers selected Jordan Love in 2020, that immediately started arguably the biggest story in all of sports, Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with the Green Bay Packers. Everybody wanted to know every offseason that Aaron Rodgers was with the Packers is, oh, is he happy with the organization? Is he going to sign a contract? I mean, you never knew. So then you think about the fact that they draft Jordan Love, that immediately sets the time clock of for Aaron Rodgers and his time in Green Bay. And then, you know, things go on. He says he's disgruntled with the organization. He doesn't want to return to them. You know, in his, he doesn't want to return to them in, I believe, April of 2021. You know, misses OTAs, misses mini camp, misses, and then eventually shows up to training camp, has another MVP year. And then everybody's wondering, all right, now the offseason is, Jordan Love's still back there. We got to, are we, but we have a, you know, a back-to-back league MVP on our squad. And then they signed him to a contract, and that was obviously a big, you know, storyline. Then the next year has the worst season of his career, and everyone just says, all right, we've had enough. It's time to move on. All of that goes into this injury. This story, this entire NFL storyline was one of the biggest stories in sports for 3 years, and we finally got to see what Aaron Rodgers was going to be like without the Packers. This is what he wanted, and in the fourth play, he's a Jet. He tears his Achilles. That is all time cruel. That is all time inexplicable. I'm not even I'm like trying, because people have heard me, you know, suck Aaron Rodgers' dick in a way for many years. He's my favorite NFL player of all time. I, you know, will defend the guy to the death. And so I didn't really want to come on here and just say like, oh, this is gut-wrenching. This is horrible for me as a football fan. I love Aaron Rodgers so much. I'm not even talking about that part. I'm simply saying this injury, there's so much that went into this, and for it to just be done like that, and now we got to wait another year and eventually wait and see if the guy's ever going to play football again. I mean, that game last night, what happened to start, you know, no, with the national anthem was great. Aaron Rodgers' entrance was great. He goes down. Zach Wilson comes in, and Jets fans are like, oh, what are we going to do now? Like, this is probably the worst injury that we could have ever imagined. And it's probably it is literally the most Jets thing that has ever happened. Like, that fan base and that team is so cursed I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs in 12 years. They've had the last time they had this much hype going into an NFL season was when, they made the AFC Championship game, and then the next year they have Vinny Testaverde, and he goes down with an Achilles tendon. Apparently, which I found out was a year ago, which was like on the same day. So all pretty crazy. Jets fans are thinking the season's over. This is awful. Like, what are we? The air was completely sucked out of the building, and somehow, some way, Josh Allen keeps them in the game, and the Jets win it in the most unbelievable fashion. And in the process, one of the greatest catches of all time happened. That game was unbelievable, and in a bad way, in a good way. I just really, really hope that Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this begs the question, should he retire? If I were in Aaron Rodgers' shoes right now, I mean, you can see it from so many angles. I mean, on one hand, you think he's proved all he has to prove. He's clearly a first ballot Hall of Famer in my eyes, a top five quarterback of all time. Maybe he thinks he has more to prove. I think he still has maybe a little more to prove. Getting another Super Bowl would do wonders for his legacy. But I mean, Aaron is a guy that's he said, like, I've accomplished a lot in this league. I don't need people telling me that I need one more Super Bowl. I don't need people telling me that I need more playoff wins. I feel I've done a lot for this league. I feel like I've done as much as I can. I'm gonna have my number retired by the Packers. I'm gonna be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, I've done well in this league, and he has. But man, if I were Aaron Rodgers, I just could not see myself retiring and going out that way. I mean, that is just, it's the worst way to go out. You leave the team that you're with for 18 years, and in your first season with the New York Jets, you are just beyond excited to play football. I mean, you look happier than you've ever, he looks happier than he's ever been in all of his years playing football. Like, just the pure excitement, the pure joy of being in New York, and it's taken away from him, in the span of four plays. I find it very hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers would retire. Now, if you look at his body and you look at the just look at it in this lens, like, he's 40. Tear your Achilles, you've already proven a lot. You've already made your mark on the league. What's the point coming back, and what's the point of doing all that rehab? If you look at it that way, it seems like a very clear and obvious decision. He probably should retire. Like, if this happened to Tom Brady when he was 40, maybe a bad example. That guy is obsessed with football. He played until he was 45, but I don't know. Maybe he would have retired. But the thing is, Brady, playing with the Patriots and eventually playing with the Bucks, he always had a pretty good old line, and he was always able to keep himself upright. Now, this is a complete freak thing. The Jets don't have a great old line, but, like, no matter what O-line you have, you're eventually going to get sacked. And when you get sacked, there is a chance, like what happened to Aaron Rodgers last night, that some shit happens. And you do something, something happens to your body, like what happened to Aaron Rodgers. And first off, the fact that that never happened to Tom Brady, he tore his ACL in 08, I think. Like, how that never happened to him going into his late 30s and mid to early four or early to mid 40s, how that never happened to him, it truly blows my mind. The guy, I mean, the football gods are always looking upon that guy. He was born, they said this guy's gonna be the GOAT, and he eventually did become the GOAT. But man, that guy has caught a ton of breaks, and in order to be the GOAT, you have to catch a ton of breaks. And Aaron Rodgers did not catch one last night. I feel for him. I feel really bad. I mean, that was a team outside of the Packers that I probably was going to watch every single game. That was probably the only team outside of the Packers that I probably was going to watch every single game of theirs, at least every single primetime game. And they had six primetime games, I'm pretty sure. And now, with Zach Wilson as the QB, now, do the Jets have a chance? I don't see it. Like, Josh Allen literally gifted the Jets that game. Completely gifted it to him. I mean, no matter how bad Zach Wilson played, it just seemed like Josh Allen was going to play way worse. And, Josh Allen, I mean, Zach Wilson didn't even need to touch the ball in overtime because they returned a punt. I mean, that game was just the perfect storm. His only touchdown pass was completely nullified. His horrible pass for a touchdown was completely nullified by Garrett Wilson's talent. So I don't see a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I'm a guy that believed in Zach Wilson coming out of the 2021 draft. I really liked what I saw from him at BYU. I thought he had a lot of talent, but man, I mean that I was dead wrong on that. He is not nowhere near a franchise quarterback. Now, Aaron Rodgers being in the vicinity, being in the building, could that help him? Absolutely. And I'm assuming Aaron would do that, when he gets, when he's able to get on his feet and, ride on a scooter. I'm assuming Aaron Rodgers will be in the building and he will be in every quarterback room and he will be in every meeting, helping Zach. And it seems like that's what the Jets are going to do. Now, they're probably going to go out and get someone to, help teach him and along with teach him, compete with him. But just as if you're a Jets fan, you just can't help but look at this and say, we had Aaron Rodgers. We just beat the Bills with Zach Wilson. What could we have done with Aaron Rodgers, not only in that game, but for the rest of the season? It's heartbreaking. I would not want to be a Jets fan right now. I mean, I'm a Packer fan. Aaron Rodgers was always my guy. So, and even I'm a little heartbroken right now. It sucks. He doesn't. No matter what you think about him, he doesn't deserve it. No great quarterback deserves that, especially a guy that was in the situation that he was in. I mean, sports are cruel. Football's cruel. It's a cruel game, and you gotta roll with the punches, I guess. All right, so I'm gonna take a quick break. We are gonna talk about Texas and Alabama. What a game that was. Hook 'em horns. Everyone knows. A lot of people know that I am kind of a Texas guy. Outside of Wisconsin, and we may have to touch on Wisconsin's loss. That was pretty ass. Yeah, I'll talk about college football next. So I've always had a good relationship with Texas football. I know they're one of the most disappointing teams over the past decade. Probably the most disappointing program over the past decade. It's Texas football. It's a very iconic brand. Vince Young, Colt McCoy. Mack Brown, just big names. The 2000s, Texas was a powerhouse. They ended USC's winning streak. And Colt McCoy had a great career and they made a national championship in 2009, lost to Alabama. And then after Colt McCoy left, the program was just nothing but disappointment. On Saturday, they achieved something that not many programs and not many quarterbacks can say they achieved. And I'm talking about Quinn Ewers. They beat Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. Some of the names of quarterbacks that have beaten Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa: Johnny Manziel, Cam Newton, Joe Burrow. Three big names right there. Arguably the three biggest names in college football of the 2010s. And Quinn Ewers achieved it on Saturday, played pretty much flawlessly. And not only did Texas beat Alabama, they beat them fair and square. This wasn't just some crazy game where it came down to the wire, maybe went into overtime. No, Texas led the game, led the Texas beat Alabama. Now, Alabama has some issues. I'm not gonna come out and say that Alabama's done, the run is done. I would say that about Clemson, because Clemson just hasn't even looked like a top 10 program over the past years without Trevor Lawrence. And Alabama is, I wouldn't say, is that. Alabama in 2020 won a national championship. Alabama in 2021 made the national championship. Alabama last year, while they did not make the college football playoff and had two losses, I would firmly agree that Alabama was a top four team last year and should have made the playoffs. Hindsight is 2020, and TCU did beat Michigan, but I would not have put TCU in the playoff last year after losing to Kansas State in the Big 12 championship, in the Big 12 championship. But it was so clear and obvious that their, undefeated season last year, they played in so many close games, and then you lose to Kansas State in the Big 12 championship. Come on, that's one of those teams where Okay, if you go undefeated, you're gonna make it. But if you have one loss, I mean, how can we put you in the top four when you're clearly not a top four team? And Alabama then thumped Kansas State in the bowl in their bowl game last year. So Alabama, I don't think is going anywhere. Now, Saturday wasn't a great loss, and there were a lot of glaring flaws. Like, first off, they have a quarterback that can't push the ball downfield. Alabama has had some fabulous quarterbacks over the past few years. Bryce Young, Mac Jones, Tua. I mean, though that's three straight quarterbacks that are like all American level. Tua almost won a Heisman. Mac Jones almost won a Heisman. Bryce Young did win a Heisman. So, and also just a lot of great receivers in that program too. I mean, Alabama had, Judy, Ruggs, Devontae Smith, Jameson Williams. I mean, those are just great, downfield threats. And Alabama, for some reason, over the past 2 years, hasn't had that. Now, last year they were better, and I think they're a better team last year than, this year. And this year they might end with, like, I don't know, three losses. I don't know if I wouldn't put it past Tennessee to beat them. Now we'll see where this goes, but Alabama the past years has had some very, strange teams. They just haven't really. Last year they were kind of, all their issues were kind of masked by Bryce Young, and this year it's kind of becoming clear and obvious. Yeah, they got a great defense, and they're always going to have a great defense. They don't have a great quarterback, but they're also just not winning at the line of scrimmage. Alabama is now in the stage, and I said this when I knew they were going to lose to Texas. They're now becoming to the stage in college football, and this is not a bad stage to be at, because this applies to almost every team that's, in the top 25 or in the top 15, trying to, sneak their way into the college football playoff. Is that Alabama needs a great quarterback to succeed at this point. The only program that can say they don't need a great quarterback is Georgia, because last year Stetson Bennett was a Heisman candidate, but I would not even put him in the top five, maybe top 10 of quarterbacks that actually played last year. Probably top 10, but he's not top five. He wouldn't be top five in my vote, and certainly not a top four player in the country last year, which is what, they thought he was because he made it to New York. And then the year before, when Georgia won the title, they had seven first-round draft picks on defense. Stetson Bennett had to do nothing. In fact, Stetson Bennett was fighting with JT Daniels and other guys for the starting spot until he eventually won it. On this is for Georgia's first national championship, with Stetson Bennett. And then last year, Stetson Bennett was pretty solid and, made some really big throws in the playoff. But Georgia is really the only program that can say we don't need a great quarterback to, win the title. We can win it just with our roster alone. And Alabama used to be in that stage, because they won a title with Jake Coker. They won a title with Greg McElroy. They just had better guys. They won a title with AJ McCarron. Now, AJ McCarron was a pretty good college quarterback, but not very talented, and I wouldn't even put him in the same breath as Tua, Bryce Young, or even Mac Jones in terms of talent. So yeah, if you look at Alabama and they're in the top 10 right now, look at the top 10 teams. I mean, we'll see what we have, like the AP poll. AP College Football Top 25. Sorry, just kind of work on the fly here. So yeah, you got Georgia. Like I said, doesn't really need a great quarterback to win. Carson Beck has played fine, but against that competition with that roster, I'd hope you played at least fine. Michigan, J.J. McCarthy is playing fantastic. Florida State has Jordan Travis. Texas has Quinn Ewers. USC has the best player in college football and Caleb Williams. Ohio State, there's questions. Now, Kyle McCord played really, really good, but it was against Youngstown State. Penn State has Drew Aller. Washington has Michael Penix. Notre Dame has Sam Hartman. And Alabama sitting there at 10. Alabama has it depends on who you like, Kyle McCord or Jalen Milroe. I would personally take McCord because he seems to have a pretty good arm. And with those receivers that Ohio State has, he's just going to put up better numbers than Jalen Milroe this year. But then you keep looking back. Tennessee has Joe Milton, who struggled this year, but you can't deny the talent. Utah has Cameron Rising. Oregon has Bo Nix. LSU has Jaden Daniels. I mean, look at all these great quarterbacks in the t I just named the top 15 there. Alabama has probably the worst quarterback out of all those teams. Do you really think that Alabama, I mean, they could be in for a rough stretch this season. Now, they're not playing all those guys, but like at the end, when it's all said and done, and Alabama, what if they're sitting up there at like 6 or 7? I mean, you'd be hard pressed to say that if all the teams that they're fighting for a college football playoff spot for, unless Jalen Milroe just takes a wild turn, who's to say that Alabama would beat any of those teams simply because they're going to have such a disadvantage at the quarterback spot if they played any of those teams. So Alabama's kind of in a spot right now. They're not dominating the sport. They just lost. They have one loss already. It's a weird spot, but again, I'm not gonna doubt Nick Saban. I have no doubt in my mind that with, recruiting class or two in the next 2 years, he'll find a quarterback, he'll find some receivers, and Alabama will just be just fine because it is probably the biggest brand in college football still at this point. So I'm not gonna doubt Alabama, but this season, Jalen Milroe at QB, you might be in for some rough times. Now, Texas. Quinn Ewers is fantastic. I think Quinn Ewers is the third best quarterback in college football right now. And Quinn Ewers is one of those guys, in my opinion, that has been overshadowed. Because for starters, he went to Ohio State initially, did not win the starting job, and then had to transfer. And then he transfers to a place that gets Arch Manning. So he's, been kind of overshadowed somehow, some way, being a perfectly rated quarterback recruit coming out of high school. Only three quarterbacks in all of like high school football have ever can say that they got a perfect 5-star 1.00 rating. It's Quinn Ewers, Vince Young, and Trevor Lawrence. Quinn Ewers' talent has always been there. Now, he's had some rocky moments in his college career, especially with Texas last year. Plays Alabama in Texas. First quarter looks fantastic, gets knocked out of the game. Then comes back in the season. Plays really good against Oklahoma, and then the rest of the way just has some pretty bad games against some pretty bad competition, and Texas has another disappointing year. But now Texas is they're here. I'm not going to use the cliche Texas is back, but like Texas is a fabulous team this year. They have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. They should make the playoff. They're clearly good enough, and they have a high they now. For the first time in a really long time, they have a legitimate Heisman candidate, first round talent at quarterback. I like Sam Ellinger. He wasn't going to be playing on Sundays. He wasn't going to be a franchise quarterback. Quinn Ewers can be that. And it's exciting. It's exciting as a Texas, I'm not going to say Texas fan, but it's exciting for the sport because a brand as big as Texas deserves to be, a contender. And Texas hasn't been that over the past decade. So it's a very exciting thing for the sport that now the Texas Longhorns can officially say they're not a pretender. They not only have a great team, they have a great quarterback, they have a great coach, one of the best play callers in the sport. And it'll be interesting to see them down the road because the two teams that I really don't have any doubt are going to make the playoff is, Florida State and Texas. Now, Georgia, you can probably say that too, but then again, they still are probably gonna have a tough game in the SEC championship game, whoever they play. But their schedule is very easy. And then after that, I mean, like, if you want to put Georgia in that spot, let's just say Georgia is just dominant as always this year. They go undefeated, win the SEC championship, they're in. Texas does what they should do and go undefeated and win the Big 12, they're in. And then Florida State has to play Clemson, but after that, it's smooth sailing for Florida State. So then after that, you got to wonder, all right, now we got to look at the Pac-12, who has been the most stacked conference in terms of quarterback talent, but a lot of just team talent in that conference the last year that they will be a conference. And it's going to be a battle between them or the Big Ten. One of those teams has to hope that Texas or Florida State loses because the Michigan-Ohio State winner, as long as Ohio State and Michigan are undefeated going to that game, the Michigan-Ohio State winner, like, they're probably going to beat whoever the hell comes out of the West. in the Big Ten championship game they're in, and it makes the job very easy. But you could have an undefeated pack. The Pac-12, they could easily just beat up on each other, and they all beat each other once, and then that makes the committee's decision easy. It'll be all right, winner of Michigan, Ohio State. But I don't know. Those Pac-12 teams, they can get big ratings. I mean, there's no way Colorado goes undefeated this year, but if they do, you might as well just send them in. That would be great for ratings. If they're undefeated, don't even bother Big Ten. You're not going to have a playoff contender this year, which would be crazy. But yeah, looking at this, Pac-12, arguably the best conference in college football this year, that may not, and they may not even end up sending anyone to the playoff. That would be sad. All right. I feel like, is there anything more I should talk about? Okay. I'll talk about the Packers. I'm going to take a break. I got to go pee. I'll talk about the Packers, and then we should be good. And yeah. I could sit in here and talk about how I love the way the Packers looked. I could say, oh, Jordan Love, we have our next franchise QB. I could say, oh, we finally have a defense that can stop the run. Oh, we have a finally have a defense that can rush the passer. Our O line looks as good as ever. Oh my gosh, we have receivers that were no names coming into this year, and Romeo Dobbs caught two touchdowns on a pitch count, and Christian Watson didn't even play. I could say all those things, but honestly, if I said all those things, I would be lying, and it's not because I don't kind of feel like those things are true, but are Packers fans forgetting who we played there? We played the Bears, the most pathetic organization in sports, with the most pathetic fan base. Let me just unpack this here. So, Bears fans, why in God's name were you all so confident that you would win this game? I understand Aaron Rodgers isn't a Packer anymore, but have you watched football? Have you watched NFC North football over the past 15, 10 to 15 years? And I get those years were with Aaron Rodgers. Have you watched yourselves? The Bears have never been able to draft and develop a competent quarterback. The Bears have never been able to hire a coach that will not get fired after 3 years. All these things are true. Mark Trestman, John Fox, Matt Nagy. Now Matt Eberflus will probably be fired after this year if the Bears keep playing the way they're playing. You guys are pathetic. You guys are pathetic. Did the Bears think that just because we lost Aaron Rodgers, even though we have a guy that has been sitting behind him for 3 years and has learned everything he possibly can from him, the team didn't change. Last year, we had Aaron Rodgers, who had the worst season of his career. The team is still the same. The team this year is the same as it was last year, and we still went 2-0 against you. All we needed was Jordan Love, was for Jordan Love to outplay what Aaron Rodgers did in those two games, and we win the game. But oh, Bears fans were going to say, oh, wait, but we got a lot better this year. Oh, really? Let's see. So you said that you had the better quarterback coming into the game. I was silent on that. I didn't know what Jordan Love was going to be, but I was like, I think Justin Fields sucks. I personally think Jordan Love will have a better season this year than Justin Fields, and that's not a high bar. And so I disagreed with that. The Bears were saying, oh, we made the trade of the offseason. We got DJ Moore. We traded the first overall pick for DJ Moore, another first, a first after that, and then a second, I believe, or it was a big trade. I even admitted the Bears won that trade. However, I don't give a shit about the draft picks that the Bears got, because I know that they won't end up being good picks. But DJ Moore is a fine player. He is a good number two on a good team. But he's the number one receiver on the Bears. a bad team, a bad quarterback. Like, why do you think Packer fans were so scared of DJ Moore? We weren't. Oh, but we made all these moves. We got Tremaine Edmonds. We got we drafted Darnell Wright. Our line should be okay. We should have a high scoring offense this year with, our quarterback who is a prolific runner. Khalil Herbert, who I'll say this, Khalil Herbert was always better than David Montgomery. He should have always been the lead back last year and the year before that even. So sure, you have an okay running back and you got three probably decent running backs in your backfield. Oh, we got Cole Kmet. Maybe someday he'll, get more than 40 yards receiving in a game. All these things that the Bears were saying, and it still ended with pure misery for them. And you want to know why? I've been seeing a lot of excuses for Bears fans. Oh, the O-line was terrible. It was, because you are terrible. Oh, the defense. They gave Jordan Love all day to throw. You're right. The Packers have always had a great O-line that has never really had issues against the Bears, besides, one rogue year in 2018 where I have no idea how the Bears were so good that year. They had a great historic defense for one season. And no, let's keep looking at the other issues. The coaching, the play calling was a disaster. Okay, maybe it wasn't great, but there's always an excuse, and they're never looking at one of the biggest issues they've had with this team for a while. It's that Justin Fields is your quarterback. What do Bears fans see in Justin Fields? It blows my mind. Like, the amount of excuses they make for this guy, how many coaches do you have to go through? You had Matt Nagy with Justin Fields. Everyone's like, fire Nagy. Okay. And then Matt Eberflus comes in. Oh, fire Eberflus. Fire Luke Getsy. Fire everyone. You can't keep firing people if the same result happens year after year after year. That's 3 years. Justin Fields has been a Chicago Bear. He started for a decent amount of the season, his first season, started pretty much all of last season, and outside of one game or two games. And so far this year, he looked pretty bad. Everyone's like, let Justin Fields cook. Cook what? The guy has never shown he can be an elite passer in this league. He has a 60% career completion percentage. He's won 5 games as a starter. Also, like Bears fans, not only just Bears fans, but the NFL world just seems to think that Justin Fields is good. He was voted a top 100 player last year. That is absurd. Is it because the guy breaks off an 80-yard touchdown every once in a while? Is that why? Can we look at him objectively, folks, and realize that the guy can't throw the football downfield, and he especially can't throw it when teams know he has to throw it? Justin Fields is not a good quarterback in this league, and he is not the Bears guy. And yet again, the Bears draft a quarterback, and it doesn't pan out. Like, I could have told you this was coming. Bears fans kept saying, like, oh, this is our year. The Packers don't have Rodgers anymore. The North is ours. Ugh. Ugh. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had the worst year of his career last year, and we still went 2-0 against you. And I'm certain, after watching yesterday, I am certain Jordan Love will have a better year than Aaron Rodgers did last year. And you know what that means? 2-0 against the Bears. And with how this team looked yesterday and how energized they were, and the play calling from Matt LaFleur, I have no doubt in my mind that the Packers can win this division, especially with the way the Vikings looked. And the Lions looked good, but it was out without Travis Kelce. We'll see how they play throughout the season. It'll be interesting. They could easily win the division. Lions are a good team, but the Bears, man. I mean, is it because they're so set on this, on Justin Fields finally being the guy, that is blinding them from the fact that they're wrong? It might be. It might be. I mean, that's a good theory. I mean, if I were a Bears fan, I'd be like, oh, finally. I mean, at least with this guy, because, like, they had Trubisky. They really tried hard with Trubisky, but they eventually realized that the guy has no talent. But at least with Justin Fields, they're like, oh, look at how good he is with his legs. If we can develop him into the passer, the league is over. And they're trying to latch onto that, and it's I'm telling you, man, it's going to explode this year. Justin Fields is not, he can't do it. He can't do it. He can't be the guy. Unless they take a page out of the Ravens book from when Lamar was a rookie, when Lamar was a second year player, won MVP. I'm not saying that's going to come anywhere close to the what the Bears could do with Justin Fields, because like in order for you to do what the Ravens did with Lamar, you know, start doing more designed runs with Justin Fields and become more of an option team, you have to have a really good O line to do that, and the Bears clearly don't have that. So, I mean, I don't feel bad in the slightest. I really don't, because the Bears talked all the shit, and for what? You have no leg to stand on in this. Packers have owned you for so long, and now it's looking like it's just going to be more misery for the Bears this season and probably for seasons to come. Well, that's our show. Packed show. Three big segments that I had to talk about. Apparently, UW-Lax lost to Hardin Simmons, which I had no idea. Hardin Simmons is like one of the best D3 teams. So that's my bad. Should have done more research. Shouldn't have talked so much shit about them, but I believe every word I said. Can't be fucking, you know, taking out the minister program. Come on. Can't be doing that. I think they play Stout this week, so I don't really need to say much more than the fact that they play Stout. Stout is, there's too many jokes to tell about them, but I don't have the time nor the gall to go off on UW Stout. All right, that's it for today. Very sad show, but a show that I was excited to make because I really felt like there was a lot to unpack with the Aaron Rodgers injury, but gotta move on. Still football. I still love football. I'm still gonna watch, and I was very pleased with what I saw from the Packers this week. So I'm excited. We'll see you next Tuesday.